All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Yud Gimel 13. We are picking up on Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b at the two dots, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba by Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say a very interesting sugya to start the day. The Gemara says, Katan, Yesh lo machshava o ein lo machshava. So it says, the interesting shayla over here, does a katan have what we call machshava, intent or not? Now, what does this mean on a practical level? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here in the second wide line in Rashi, katan yesh lo machshava o ein lo machshava kigon b'shchitas kachim debay kavan kidafin b'shmaita. So for example, Rabbi said, let's say when it comes to the shchita of karbanos, requires kavana. So do we say that a katan has proper kavana, has the ability to have proper kavana, or not? So says the Gemara, very interesting, Amar Rabbi Abi, so Rabbi Ami says, Viti Barile Maisa. If you're asking if a katan has machshava, why don't you also ask if a katan has a maisa? Meaning, why don't you also ask if the maisa of a katan is halachically valid or halachically legitimate as well? So why is it that you didn't ask about the ma'isa of a katan? Disnan yeshla and ma'isa. Because as we're going to see in just a little bit, we have a Mishnah that says that the ma'isa of a katan is in fact legitimate. Machshava nami lo tiboyle. So if that's the case, you shouldn't worry about, again, machshava either way. Disnan einlan machshava. Because you have a Mishnah that says that a katan does not have machshava. So we'll say, okay, so which Mishnah are we referring to over here? So watch, this is actually quite fascinating. This not. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ha'alon v'harimon v'ha'egos. So we'll say, alon is an acorn, a rimon is a pomegranate, and an egos is a nut. And in all of these cases, shechakakum tinokos lamud bahen afar. Now, we'll say, so imagine the following situation. You have a katan, you have a child, who hollowed out one of these items, so a katan hollowed it out either to go ahead and use it as a measuring utensil, or he went ahead and hollowed it out in order to use it as one side of a scale. So I'll say, so bottom line, what you have over here is that a katan took the shell of something, whether it's a nut, an acorn, a pomegranate. It doesn't really matter, but the point is he did a maisa to clearly make this item into a kli. So what's the halacha? Tmein, mipnei sheish lan maisa. Ultimately, again, the kli, when we say tmein, what we really mean is what? That the kli is ra'i lekabel tumah. The kli cannot be mekabel tumah. Why? Because the katan, through his actions, made it into a kli. So what do you see from here? Mipnei sheish lan maisa. So we'll say, so you see that a katan has maisa. Now, if you look at the last Rashi on the daf, Rashi Yeshla Maisa, Kigon Zeh, Shema Asein Muchach Mochichin, Dilashen Kli Niskavnu. The Gamim Omrim came, Viesh Kan Maisa Umach Shava Hamoridin Obsot Roski. So we'll say, Rashi adds in a very important piece of information over here, which is, the case here we'll say is, it's clear from the Katan's actions what he's doing. Right? It's clear that he's making this item into a Kli. Now, Rashi is also Mosuf over here. What else? That the katan says that he's making it into a kli. So we have his maisa. We also ultimately, again, have his machshava. But it's not just the machshava, it's articulated through his dibor. So we'll say, see, even a katan could go ahead and render this item into a kli that is fit lekabel tumah. So says the Gimar, top of Yud Gimar Bosai, ve'inlan machshava. Ultimately, again, but a katan does not have machshava. So for example, Rabbi Osei, if a katan came across a hollowed out pomegranate, right? And the katan had in mind that this pomegranate should serve as a kli, so ultimately, again, that machshava does not make it into a kli. Rabbi Osei, now remember, compare that with an adult. If, let's say, again, a gadol, if I were to come across a pomegranate shell, and I were to say, I have in mind I'm going to use it as a kli, that machshava renders the pomegranate shell into a kli, and now is allowed to be mekabel tumah. So ultimately, again, the machshava of a katan, that's what Rashi says, top Rashi, Yud Gimel Adal, if ilan machshava, he go matza leklipas egos kimoshu, if he finds a halerat nutshell, as it is, V'chashav aleh lamud, and he has in mind to use it as a measuring utensil, or afilu madad ba, or even if he actively uses it as a measuring utensil, ela shelo asa ba maisa l'shem kli, but the katan did nothing ultimately to make it into a kli, then what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. So we'll say, so bottom line, what we have over here is as follows. Katan yesh lo maisa. If a katan does an actual act, a clearly bona fide act, and furthermore, again, he solidifies that act by verbally expressing his intentions, everyone agrees that the actions of a katan will be meaningful. If a katan just has machshava, everyone agrees that what? That is not meaningful. To which the Gemara says, we'll say top line, you're giving him a dalaf. Machshava gri dasal komi boy. To which the Gemara says, he said to him, I'm not asking about stam machshava of a katan. We all agree that the stam machshava of a katan is meaningless. So Moshe, remember again, the paradigmatic case of a stam machshava of a katan is, as we just said, the katan comes across a hollowed out pomegranate shell, and he has in mind that he's going to use it as a kli. That's the case of Moshe, if stam machshava. Everyone agrees that that is meaningless. So watch this. Ki kami ba'ile, where is my question? Machshavto nikeres mitoch masov. Oh, we'll say, what about if you have a situation where the katan's intentions are clearly understood from the context of his actions, where intentions are expressed through dynamic activity? What's an example of that? Here we go. Kigon to have a kaima ola bedarim. So we'll say, let's say, for example, the katan was bringing an ola. Katan was bringing an ola. And the ola, the animal itself, was situated in the south. Now, Bosse, we know from our Zvachim days that an Ola has to be shechted in the north, so the animal was situated in the south. The Katan then takes and actively leads the animal, ultimately, to the north, the Shechta, and he shechts it there in the north. So I say, so what's the Shaila? Mai, what's the status of that act of Shechita? Do we say, Mida'asya b'tzafon v'shechta, since he brought it to the north and he shechted it there, so it's clear that's what Rabbi say. It's clear that he has kavana l'shem ola. Rabbi say, now remember again, in this case, has the katan articulated anything? No. But Rabbi say, what he has done is, remember again, if he wasn't having any specific intent, what could he have done? What could he have done? Could have shechted it right where he found it, in the south. The fact that he actively tries to, not that he tries, the fact that he actively transports it from the south to the north, so do we say that's a clear expression of his intent to offer up the Ola Lishma? O Dilma, or maybe the other possibility is, Makom Chudelo Isramile, we'll say maybe just the north was a little crowded, right? Or it was too sunny, or it was too, or he didn't like the guy standing next to him. Whatever the Mitzvah is, maybe he just chose to relocate to the south, but there's not necessarily what? Any kind of expression of intent, to which the Gemara says, "Ha nami amra." Ha nami amra biyochanan chadazimna. Truth is, also, we already learned this case as well. We'll say this is the case of machshavto nikeres misoch maasov, where there's no explicit expression of intent, but his intent seems to be clear from his actions. We already learned that once as well. Where did we learn that? It's not. Hamala peiros. Listen to this interesting case. Hamala peiros of lagag mipneach nima. So we'll say, I take my fruit up to my roof because of insects. So there's insects in the field. I want to take the fruit up to the roof. Now what happens? The yarad alehen tal. And I will say, now what happens when they're on the roof? So the dew comes down and falls on the fruit. So remember again, fruit, food items in general, fruit, we'll call it right now, can only become a kabel tumah when there's an exposure to liquid. So now watch this. In this case, I took my fruit up to the rooftop for a very clear intention, which was to escape the insect infestation. Once it's up there, so the tal, the dew fell on it. What's talacha? Einon b'chi yutan. We'll say, they're not makabel tumah. Why they're not makabel tumah? Why not? Because that wasn't my intention. My intention was not to take them up there for them to become wet. My intention was to take them up there to escape the insects. Therefore, if the dew subsequently falls on them, so you will say, without getting into all of the technicalities now, The halacha is that peros are only mekabel tumah when coming in contact with a liquid, if I had kavana for the contact with the liquid. If it happened by accident, like you're walking by my fruit and you spill your glass of water on my fruit, that does not go ahead and make them ra'i lekabel tumah. So in this case over, that's the chiyitein chiyutan drash, which we're not going to get into now. So the point over here is, if I clearly brought it up to the roof because I wanted to escape the insect infestation, it dews, I don't know if that's a proper word, but it dews, right, on the fruit, my fruit are not mekabel tumah. Now watch this. Then the skavin lekach, Rabbi said, at the end of the day, if I had kavana for this, in other words, if either, as Rashi points out, when taking the fruit up to my rooftop, or once they're already on the rooftop, I have in mind that I want the fruit to become wet, then einachinami, it is subject, then it's makabel tumah. Okay, now watch this. Here's the point for us, we'll say that matters. Cheresh shot to the kun. We'll say, what if we're dealing with the cheresh shot to the kun who are transporting the fruit? Afa pishin is kavlu l'kach. So we'll say, for the cheresh shot to the kun, even if they had kavana, let's say the dew, whether before or after the dew falls, they have in mind that what? That they want the fruit to get wet. Ultimately, again, einon b'chiyutan. So we'll say it makes absolutely no difference, right? The fruit is not makabel tumah. Why? Mipnei sheyesh len maisa ve'ein lehen machshava. Because we'll say cheresh shot to the katan, their actions are meaningful, but their thoughts are not. Their cognitive processes are not. So the fact that a cheresh shot to the katan brought it up to the roof, and then subsequently had kavana that it should get wet with the dew, does not in any way render it does not allow it to be makabel tumah. Now watch this. So here's the important part. Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela shlo hibeich b'hem. So Rabbi Yochanan says that's only if, let's say, the cheresh shot of a katan didn't turn the fruit over. Rabbi said, why would they turn the fruit over? Because they wanted to get wet on the other side as well. Aval hibeich b'hem. Rabbi said, if the cheresh shot of a katan turned the fruit over, then what? Hare ze b'chi yuton. Then ultimately, again, what Rabbi said, the fruit is makabel tumah. Why is the fruit makabel tumah, Rabbi Osei? Why? Because he did a maisa, right? He did a maisa, and this would be a case of machshava, machshavto nikeres misoch maisov, where ultimately, again, his thoughts, his intentions, are clearly expressed and demonstrated through his actions. So we see from here that even in a case of machshavto nikeres misoch ma'asov, we see that what? That halacha l'mais, even by cheresh shot of a cotton, it works. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Here is the real question we were asking. The real question we were asking, Rabbi Osei, was doraisa o drabanan? Rabbi Osei, our real question was, does this work doraisa or drabanan? Rabbi Osei, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Hachi kami bari doraisa drabanan. It's about, I'd say about 10 lines up from before the short lines end. Hachi kami bari doraisa drabanan. Hadamiso vishamati mir Rabbi Osei. Demachshavta mikeres misoch ma'asav havi machshava. Kilu perish b'shas ma'isa. So we'll say, now that we've established that even by a cheresh shot of a katan, machshavto nikeres misoch ma'asov, the shayla is da'oraisa. Is this biblically true, Rabbi Osei? Look at Rashi. Da'oraisi, v'samchinon alo afilu l'kula, kigo bayon de'le'el behevi olam idarm l'tzafon. So we'll say, do we say it even biblically? Now what that means is, even biblically, Rabbi Osei, for example, let's say in the case of carbon, the case we saw before, where the olo is in the south, and then what happens? The katan moves it to the north. So we'll say, ultimately, again, do we say, machshavto nikeres misoch ma'asov, even mid'oraisa, and even if that results in a kula, or only dirabanan? Or for example, Rabbi Osei, we always say that dirabanan, for example, in the case of Kabbalah's Tumah, where he flipped over the fruit, to which the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak masni hachi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asked this a little bit different. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, by Rav Yochanan, katan yesh lo maisa, in lo maisa. So we'll say, this is an alternate version of the previous discussion. In this version, we begin by asking, does a katan have maisa or not? If a katan does something, Rav Osei, that is a clear act, a clear and defined act, is that act meaningful or not? To which the Gemara says, Amrli Rabbi Ami, Viti Bailey Machshava. So Rabbi Ami says, why are you only asking if a katan has maisa? Why don't you also ask if a katan has machshava, as we said before? Maishna machshava machshava delo kami baile. So say, why don't you ask about the case of machshava distan? Because we learned explicitly in the Mishnah, ein lahen machshava, that a katan's machshava, Rabbi say, is meaningless. Maisa nami loti baile distan yesh lahen maisa. So Rabbi say, maisa you also shouldn't ask why, because we explicitly learned before that what? That a katan does have maisa. Rabbi say, this is the same case as before, where the katan goes ahead and hollows out the shell of the acorn, the pomegranate, or the nut. Rabbi say, you see clearly from that case that if the katan does a maisa, he actively hollows it out, and goes ahead and says that he's going to use it as a kli. That is a bona fide act that ultimately transformed this into a kli and allows it to be makabel tumah. Conversely, if the katan already finds the hollowed out shell and begins to use it as a kli, that's a case of machshava, that ultimately, again, is meaningless. To which the Gemara says, you're right. What are we really asking? What are we really asking? Hagi kami wa'ilei. Doraisa odirabanan. We'll see what we're really asking over here is, do these concepts apply to Araisa or Dirabanan? So we'll say, at the end of what the Gemara is asking over here is as follows. If we say, Katan yesh lo maisa, or we say a case of Machshavto nikeres misoch maasov is valid, is that true to Araisa? Or as we'll say, if you say something is true to Araisa, the principle applies whether it produces a stringency or a leniency. Versus if you say that it only applies to Rabbanon, then pretty much we only use it in cases where it produces a stringency, but not a leniency. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Rabbo say, here we go. Here is the halacha lamaisa. Upashit, yesh lamaisa, va'afilu b'daraisa. So Rabbo say, number one, katan yesh lamaisa, va'afilu b'drabbanon. Excuse me, va'afilu b'daraisa. Which Rabbo say means what? That if a katan does something, a clear and defined act, and at least according to Rashi, he articulates his intentions for that act will be halachically valid. So I'll say, so for example, in the case would seem to be in a case where the katan took the animal from the ola, from the south of the Beis HaMikdash, to the north of the Beis HaMikdash, and he shechted it there. And he said that what? He said that I have in mind that this should be for an Ola, that halacha l'maisa what? It would work. That's what it sounds like over here, that it would work. That's a case of yesh l'maisa, ultimately midaraisa. Ein lahen machshava, but Rabbi say, a katan's machshava is meaningless, va'afidu midrabanan. Rabbi say, even midrabanan, a katan's machshava is meaningless. So Rabbi say, so for example, for where would that come up? Katan finds the hollowed out shell of a pomegranate, begins to go ahead and use it as a utensil. That's a case of machshava. It's a case of machshava, and it's meaningless afilu midrabanan, which would mean what Rabbi say for our purposes? What's the status of that shell? It's not makabel tumah. Okay? Case number three. Here we go. What about machshavto nikeres misoch maasov? Rabbi say, what about a case where his machshava, his intention, is clarified through his actions? So we'll say, what's the case of where his intentions are clarified through his actions? Remember, what was the example of that? The katan brings the fruit up from the field to the rooftop. The reason he's bringing it up is why? Insects. Once he gets there, the dew comes down on the fruit, and what does he do? He turns it over. So we'll say, that's a case of machshavto nikeres misoch maasov. Clearly, the fact that he turns it over means that he wants the fruits to get wet. So he's doing a maisa, and his intentionality is being expressed ultimately through his action. So what's the case there? Machshavto nikeres misoch maasov, midoraisa in einlo, midrabanan yeshlo. We will go ahead and we will say, machshavto nikeres misoch maasov works when? Works only l'chumra, but not l'kula. Will work ultimately again midaraisa, but will not work midrabanan. So we'll say, I'll share with you an interesting Rambam here. So the Rambam brings down, this is in Hilchos Psuli HaMukdashin, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. So listen to this interesting halacha. Katan, Listen to this. Katan eno shachit kachim afapi shagad lo omid al gabov. Shakatan shakachim tzuichim machshava, v'katan eno machshava. So we'll say, so first of all, again, the Rambam brings down that again, as opposed to yesterday, we demonstrated in yesterday's daf, that shechita does not require kavana. Right? We established that. Kachim, karbonos, absolutely do require kavana. So because of that, a katan cannot shecht kachim, even if there's a gadol omid al gabov, right? So we'll say, technically speaking, you could have a katan do a shechit as long as there's an adult watching him from beginning to end. Katan can't shecht kachim because kachim require kavana. So listen to this. I'm sorry, because kavana machshava and a katan doesn't have machshava. Afilu haisa, listen to this, Rambam. Afilu haisa machshavto nukeres mitoch masov. Ein machshava lahakil al lahachmir. We'll say, that's how we're asking. Even if the katan's machshava is demonstrated through his actions, the carbon is still not good, because we'll only say that machshavto nikeres misoch ma'asov is good midirabanon, but not daraisa. Only lahachmir, but not lahakil. Ketzad, so he gives the example. Here we go. Haisa ola omedes bedarom umashcha katan vevi letzafon. The ola was standing in the south, and what happens? And the katan goes ahead and brings it to the north. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Right. We're standing in the south. The katan brought it to the north. Ushachta shari meisav nikar shemachshavta l'shchitas kachim harezu psula. So as I said, there you have it. Rambam paskins that halacha l'maisa, again, in the case of machshavta nikeres misoch ma'asav, we will allow that to work midrabanon, i.e. l'chumra, but will not allow it to work d'araisa. Good, beautiful. This is the next case. This is actually amazing. This was the last Gemara in Meseches Menachos. Incredible. By the way, make your reservations for the Siyum. Hey, so Gemara says, Minad Misasik Bekachim, Shu Pasol. So this is really amazing. So how do we know that Misasik Bekachim is Pasol? How do we know that if a person about said, remember, this actually is a wonderful thing, because the Rambam just said that you need Kavana for Kachim. So how do we know that ultimately Misasik Bekachim is Pasol? So we'll say, the case of Misasik is that Halacha L'maisa, we'll say, let's use yesterday's case. Right, remember yesterday's dramatic knife throwing case? So Halacha L'maisa, if I'm an expert knife thrower, and they happen to also be an expert knife thrower who's able to do a shechita while throwing knives, the halacha is the shechita works. That will not work by karbanos. Because we'll say, by karbanos, that's called misasik. Misasik means I'm engaged in a different act other than shechita. See, I will say, a regular shechita makes no difference if I even have in mind to do knife throwing. It just happens to be that while I'm throwing the knife, it happens to do a shechita. That shechita could still be fine, could still be kosher. By kachim, the halakha is a person has to have kavana. So how do I know that misasik b'kachim is going to be possible? Shneimar v'shachat as ben abakar. Bless you, because the pasuk says, you shall shecht the ben abakar, shete shechita l'shem ben bakar. Teaches me that the shechita has to be done for the sake of the ben bakar. Amarlo, zubi adenuhi la'akiv minayim. I'm not asking. I know that you have to do shechita lishma. I'm asking, how do I know that if you didn't do it, it invalidates the shechita, that it's ma'akiv? So tamulomar lirtzonchem tizbechu ledatchem zavochu. Because we'll say the pasuk says lirtzonchem, according to for your will, you shall offer it ledatchem zavochu. It means again, you must offer it with proper das. Your das must be, there must be proper das intact in order to go ahead and offer it. Good. Mishnah. Bosa, here we go. Weiter. Shchitas ovid kochavim nevela umetama b'masim. So Bosa, so therefore halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, shchitas kachim requires kavana, but ultimately, again, regular shchita does not. Weiter. Shchitas ovid kochavim. Bosa, the shchita of an akum is a nevela, ultimately, again, has the status of an animal that just died on its own. Umetama benasa. And therefore, again, I will say, halacha l'maisa, it conveys tumah through carrying. To which the Gemara says, interesting, nevela in iser hanalo. I will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the shechita of a guy, ultimately of an akum, we'll call it, ultimately, again, is a nevela, but yet what? It's not aser b'ana. I will say, remember again, what does nevela mean? So nevela means I can't eat it, but I can sell it, right? I can feed it to my animals. In other words, I can get benefit from it. So it's interesting, says the Gemara. Man Tana, whose opinion is this? Amr Abchir Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. It's actually a fascinating sugya. Rabbi Yochanan, de lo k'Rabbi Eliezer. It does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What does Rabbi Eliezer say? The Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar stam machshavas oved avodas oved stam machshavas oved kochavim la avodas kochavim. Wow. Shabbos said, I told you it's dramatic. I wouldn't make this stuff up. Shabbos says, listen to this. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that a run-of-the-mill akum, when he shechts an animal, has in mind for what? For his idolatry. Shabbos say, if an akum has in mind for his idolatry, that categorizes his offering as takroves avodas kochavim, which then says what? That it's asher ba'ano. Shabbos say, so the Gemara just says, it's interesting, the Mishnah says, that if a stam akum shechts, obviously it's not going to be kosher, it'll be an avela. Okay, an avela, fine, I can't eat it, but I could have benefit from it. So this doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer says that a stam oved kochavim, when he shechts, has in mind for his avodah zora. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami Amar, hachi katani, shchitas oved avodas oved kochavim, nevela. So we'll say, so we understand over here, that stam a shchita of an oved kochavim, a run-of-the-mill akum, we could assume that when he does a regular shchita, he's doing it for his own purposes, not for avodah zara purposes. Therefore, again, it's an avela. Had min la avodas kochavim. They will say, but yes, if the shchita was done by a min, so we'll say, so what's a min? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Three lines up from the bottom of Rashi. Shchitas min di Yisrael. The kol shekein to avid kochavim. So, but v'hamas nisim mi avi Yisrael kaimam. The Gemara supposed to listen to this. A min is someone who is a very frum oved avodah zara, right? So we'll say, so mitmam is like he's a shtark oved avodah zara. So the lashon of Chazal is aduk ba'avodah zara. He's attached. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. So an akum is a general term for people who worship idolatry. A min is someone who's an exceptionally pious idolater. So the Gemara says something amazing over here. Rabbi Ami says, what it means to say is like this. The shchit of an oved kochavim, stam shchit of a kham, you can assume that what? That it's for non-idolatrous purposes. Therefore, Allah says the status of an avela. It's true and conveys tumah, but we'll say, but that's not what's worrying us right now. For our purposes, it's an avela. But the shchita of a min, now here's the incredible chiddush. A min could be an akum, but a min nebach could also be a Jew. Meaning, it doesn't matter the religion, it doesn't matter the origin of the min. The min is someone who is aduk ba'avodah zara. He's attached, he's passionate, he's pious about his idolatry. Whether Jew or non-Jew, a person like that, whenever he shechts, we always have in mind, we assume that what? His intention is always for who? For his avodah zara. And therefore, his shechita will in fact always be aser ba'ana. So the Gemara says, Tanin lahadutan rabbanan. We have a price that supports this. Shchitas min la'avodas kochavim, the shchita of a min, Rabbosai. Now, this happens to be referring to a Jew who is a min. The shchita of a min, ultimately, again, is always assumed to be for his dad. Rabbosai, I want to tell you the novelty in this. The novelty in this is, obviously, if you see him shechting in front of his idol, that's one thing. The Gemara is saying more. We assume that every single time he slaughters, he has in mind for his idolatry. Even if it's for his dinner, we still assume that he has in mind for his idolatry. Therefore, again, his shechita will always be aser ba'ana. Pito paskusi. Ultimately, again, his bread has the status of paskusi. Yeno yayin nesech. His wine has the status of yayin nesech. We'll say, watch this. Svarav sifrei kosmin. It will say, if he goes ahead and he writes books, even books of Torah, Rashi says, Torah Nevi'im Uksuvin, ultimately, again, literally, again, we treat them as books of incantations, i.e., his Sfarim have absolutely no Kiddusha. But remember, again, this is expressed even more dramatically by the Gemara that says that if a min writes a Sefer Torah, you burn that Sefer Torah. We do not assume that he has any proper intentions with any Sfarim or anything that he writes. Peros of Tevalin. And his Peros, ultimately, again, are obviously Tevel. V'yesh Omrim, Bosei, you ready for this? V'yesh Omrim, Af Bonov Mamzerim. And I will say, by the min, some will say that even his children are mamzerim. Now I will say, now Rashi says over here, why? So Rashi says, she'inu makbid al ishto umafkira. Because I will say, we assume that the min has no code of morality as well. And he even allows the promiscuity of his wife, the Tanakama, ishto lo mafkira. The Tanakama will say, no, we don't go that far. In other words, we'll treat him like an akum in every single regard, but we do not assume that he condones or allows the promiscuity of his wife, and therefore we don't treat his children as mamzerim. Amar Mar, so we'll say, here we go. go. So therefore, I will say what comes out of here is something really dramatically amazing. We have on one hand the shechita of the akum, which is treated like the nevela, and the shechita of the min, which is going to be treated mamish like takrovis avodah zarah, which means that it will be aser ba'ana. Says the Gemara. Amar Mar, Shechita of an Oved Kochavim Nevela. The Shechita of an Oved Kochavim is an Avela. The Nechosh Shema Minur. Both say this, by the way, get ready for this Gemara. It is absolutely amazing. I don't understand. Why don't you assume that a Stam Akum is a Min? Right? See, we'll say, this is fascinating because the truth is, we've never really seen this type of distinction before in the Akum community. Right? We assumed an Akum is an Akum is an Akum. Now we're seeing it's not true. There's an Akum, there's a Min. An Akum Shrita is an Avela. A Min Shrita is going to be Avodah Zarah. Why don't you make the assumption that a Stam Akum is Min? Get ready for this. Amrav Nachum Rav 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 says, amazing. Ein Minin Be'umos Ovdei Kochavim. The truth is, the in the nations of the world, the Ovdei Kochavim, they're not really Minin. They're not really Minin. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'haka Chazinan Di'ika. That's not true. We see that there are plenty of minin amongst the akums of the world. The Rosh is amazing. Ema, ein rov ovdei kochavim minin. Rather, the Gemara says this, we don't assume the majority of akums, right? The majority of the akum community, they're not really minin. They're not really so attached to their avodah zarah. Listen to this. Savra lakia d'am Rav Chiya bar Abba am Rav Yochanan, nachrin shebechutza la'aretz, Love of the avodas kochavim hein. And we'll say, you know, the Gentiles of Chutz La'aretz, they're not really ovid avodas kochavim, and laminag avosein biadehen. And we'll say, they're not so frum. They kind of only show up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? They're like a couple of days here. They come to the temple. So we'll say, what's amazing here is as follows: the Gemara is saying is, in the Akum community, we're making the assumption that the majority of people who we normally categorize as Ovdei Avodas Kochavim are not really active Ovdei Avodas Kochavim. In other words, when they check the religion box, which box do they check? Akum. Of course they check Akum. But at the end of the day, they're not Aduk. They're not Aduk. They're not attached to it. They're not holding on to it. It's not like there's a fiery passion of idolatry burning in their hearts. And I've always said this is incredibly important, because what that means is that's why we could say that we don't assume that their Stam everyday Shechita is for Avodah Zarah. Now what's interesting to note over here is you see, at least historically, that the Akums of Eretz Yisrael were apparently frumer than their diaspora counterparts, right? Mm-hmm. So the Akums in Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara understands, were not as Aduk in their Avodah Zarah, which again, it's very interesting to see. So this. No? Too many latkes last night? What's going on over here? I'll say this is like, I'm telling you, this like changes everything. We've always looked at Akums as a group. And we've always assumed that the status of the group is uniform. Now we're beginning to see that it's actually not the case. That within the Akum community, there are distinctions. There's the Akum community, and there's the Min community within the Akum community. And the Bible says a dramatic distinction between them. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosi Rami Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Ein minin so we'll say, so okay, so now, well, we, therefore again, the distinction we have at this moment is, the shechita of an akum will be treated like an avela, can't eat it obviously, conveys tumah b'masa, but totally mutar ba'ana. The shechita of a min, on the other hand, will be assumed for avodas kochavim, v'sum for avodas kochavim. Now watch this. Next case. Amar Rav Nachman. So I'm sorry, Amar Rav Yosi Rami Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Ein minin ba'umos ovdei kochavim. So we'll say, it's a very cryptic statement. We do not confer a status of minin on the nations of the world. So what does that mean? So Gemara says, Lamai. Ilema l'shchita. If you want to say for shchita, that's what? That stam shchita of a min, who's an akum, is not aser ba'ana. That doesn't make sense. Hashta shchitas min di yisrael amrit asira. De'ovdei kochavim ibay. So we'll say, if there's a Jew who's a min, his shchita is going to be aser. Of course, all the more so if you have an akum who is a min, his shechita is going to be aser. Ella lemoridin. Jose, this is actually a very interesting halacha. If you look at Rashi moridin, Rashi says bebar Darmina ve'in ma'amidin, haminin moridin osan labar. We'll say the halacha is, you're allowed to push a min into a well. That was, I have to understand the back. Don't be so quick, like, to apply this. I see, this is not halacha l'maisa. So again, what's interesting about this is as follows. Remember, we saw this in Avodah Zarah, that also historically, the minin also represented incredible trouble for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, again, there's this concept that under certain circumstances, you could remove him from the equation. So we'll say, right, I have a guy. Right, so you can remove him from the equation. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, Hashta di Yisrael reading of the Chacham Mibay. So we'll say, if you can unfortunately even remove a Yisrael, lose a min. So certainly you could remove an Akum, lose a min. So what does it mean when we see that Ein minos la'ov de kochavim? Amar av ukra bar chama, lekaba mehen karban. What it means, Rabbi say, and this is dramatically amazing as well, it means in terms of accepting a karban from a min who is an akum. Rabbi say, we're about to learn something mamish mind-blowing. The halacha is that you are allowed, to, remember again, we accept karbanos from non-Jews as well. You are allowed to accept a karban in the Beis HaMikdash even from an akum who is a self-proclaimed min. Even if Mamish is a min, you can accept the carbon from him. Now watch this. This Sanya, get ready. Mikem, we actually had this drasha a few days ago. Mikem, v'lo kulchem. So we'll say the pasuk says, Dab Rabban Yisrael Marta Aleh, Adam Kiyakriv Mikem Karban Hashem. So we'll say, so the halacha is that a Jew is permitted to go out and bring a carbon. Mikem, v'lo kulchem. Ultimately, again, there are those from among you, but not all of you. So we'll say what that means is, not all Jews are allowed to bring carbonos. Lahotzias hamumer, both say a Yisrael mumer, right? Who is a Jew who flagrantly violates talacha is not permitted to. We do not accept his karbanos. Mikem, so we'll say, listen to this. Bachem chalaktiv lov de obichan. Both say this is wild. Because Baruch Hu says, by the way, I only make this distinction with Jews, not with Gentiles. Which means they're both saying, with Jews, there are some Jews who can bring karbanos, some Jews who can't. With non-Jews, every single non-Jew's karban is accepted. So we'll say mimai. How do you know? This maybe this is what it means. Maybe what it means is as follows. By Jews, maybe you should only accept karbanos from tzaddikim, but not from Rishayim. Maybe from an akum, I shouldn't accept their karbanos at all. To which the Gemara says, lo, sakadai tchadisanyi ish, ma tamo lomar ish, ish ish, l'rabos ha'ovdei kochavim, shenodrim nedarim unadavos kesa. So we'll say, this is absolutely amazing. The Mikem teaches us that karbanos are not accepted from all Jews. If a Jew, Nebuch, is a mummer, we will not accept his karban. That distinction only applies by Jews. When it comes to Gentiles, we'll say, whether the Gentile is an akum, he's a min, he's, whatever he is, if he sends a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately what? We go ahead and we accept it. Rabbi said, that's the meaning of the statement of Ein Minin Bu'umos Ovdei Kochavim. There is no Minos by the Gentile, by the nations of the Lord. Rabbi means that if there's a Jew who's a Min, you can't accept this carbon. But by the Umos, by the Ovdei Kochavim, even if there's a Min, you can still accept this carbon. Rabbi said, that indeed is Halacha L'maaseh. Incredible. Let's remember what the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if the Akum shechts a karban. Ultimately, what it is considered to be an avela, and therefore mitame b'mas. So pshita. The Gemara says obvious. Kevan den avela yi mitame b'mas. I both say, isn't that one and the same? Once you tell me that it's an avela, then it's a tay b'mas. Amarava hachi katani. Rabbi says this is what it means to say. It's actually interesting as well. Zum mitame b'mas. V'yishlacha acherishim mitame afila ba'ohel. Rabbi says what it means to say is as follows. This animal is mitame b'mas. In other words, this avela is mitame b'mas. But there is another type of offering by an akum, which is metame ba'ohel. We'll say, what's the type of offering by that is metame ba'ohel? Ve'ezo zutak roves avodas kochavim. And we'll say, this ultimately refers to what? This refers to an avodah zara offering. That if an avodah zara, we'll say, if an akum offers up an animal for avodah zara, this is actually amazing. That animal, not only is it asherbana, we'll say, but what? It actually conveys Tumas Ohel. They will say, why is that dramatically amazing? What normally conveys Tumas Ohel? A mace, right? A corpse. So the offering of the Zara has the status of a corpse. and transmits to us all. Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera. So we'll listen to this. And like Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera, we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera says in just a moment. Eker Daniel will say, others have an alternate version of this. Amar Rava Hagi Katani. This is what it means to say. Zumetame bemasa. This animal, i.e. the one shechted by the Akum, that becomes an Avez Tame Masa. Vishlacha Cheres Kazu. Shemetame bemasa. Ve'inametame be'ohel. Ve'ezo. Which one is this, Rabbi Osai? Zutak Ravis Avodas Gochavim. Udalok Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera. Ultimately, again, and not in accordance with the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera. Both say, because what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera say? Desanyo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera Omer. Minayin letakroves avodos kochavim shimitame ba'ohel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera says, how do I know that an offering to Avodah Zarah ultimately transmits Tumas Ohel? Rabbi Yehuda has the ability to mitame anything that is standing under the same roof as it. Shene emar, vayitzmedu lebal par. Vayochlu zivche mesi. Vosei, when speaking about the Avodah Zarah Ba'par, it says, and they ate from the corpses of the dead. So Vosei, so you see from here that what? That offerings to Avodah Zarah are compared to corpses. Ma meis mentame ba'ohel, just as ultimately, again, a meis conveys tumas ohel. Af takroves avovde avodas kochav mentame ba'ohel. So to Vosei, the offering of Avodah Zarah also conveys tumas ol. Now, what happens to be, we do not paskin Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera, although again, so we all paskin. So we'll say what we have over here is as follows: stam shchita of an akum who is not a min. What's the status of that shchita? Nevela emetame b'masa. The shchita of a min, or for that matter, any shchita that is explicitly for avodah zara, will be aser banda. But we do not pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Masera, i.e., it does not go ahead and convey Tumas Ohel. But also, let's just finish up the daf. Hashochit balayla. If one shechts at night, v'chein hasuma sheshachat, or if a blind person shechts, shchita sukshera. Ultimately, again, his shchita is kosher. So we'll say, incredible halach. Now, obviously, we'll say the case of the suma only works if what? Obviously, if someone's standing over him, right? There's a mashkiach who's there. So shechting at night, or assume the shechita will be good. Says the Gemara, Hashochet the Eved in Lechat Gilolo. Now, both say, to say Hashochet Balayla, the Chinasuma, this sounds like Hashoch, both say, Lashon of Hashochet is always Lashon of Bidi Eved, ex post facto, right? You already did it. Once you already did it, ultimately the shechita is gone. So we're focusing much more on night. So it sounds like Bidi Eved, you could shech that night, but Lechat Gil, you shouldn't. Or many, Leolim Shoch, then maybe on Mei Malayla, Beimber Rosh Agag, Beimber Rosh Asina. We'll see this Gemara later on. You're always permitted to shecht by day and by night, on the top of a roof or on a boat. We'll discuss the roof and boat cases later. But for our purposes, what do you see from here? That even the chatchila you're permitted to shecht at night. So what's going on over here? Amar Rapapa, kishavuka kinegdo. Rapapa says, yes, you could shecht at night when? When? When there's a torch lit. In other words, when you have light. When you have light. When you have light, then you could shecht even the chatchila at night. When you don't have light, then ideally, the chatchili, you shouldn't shecht at night, but b'dievet, if you did, and the shechita was good, the shechita is kasher. Om Rav Ashi, Dikanami, Diktani, Rav Ashi, as we gave him proof, it's in the Mishnah, Diktani, Asam, Dumya, Deyom, Vachal, Dumya, Desuma. And I will say, you can even see it. Our Mishnah compares shechita at night to which case? To the shechita of a blind person. Just like the shechita of a blind person says, quote unquote, done without light. So to our Mishnah's case of shechita done at night is done without light. Therefore, the Mishnah says, the chatchil, you shouldn't do it, but b'di'evet, if you did it, it works. Mashe'enki, in the other Mishnah that the Gemara quoted, said, the olim shochtim bein bayom u bein balayla. It's comparing the case of layla to the case of yom. Just like yom, there's light, so to layla, there's night. What's the case where there's an avuka? And if there's light, you can even shech lechatchila at night. We'll say tomorrow we resume regular schedule. Meretz Hashem b'shatov masachas chovas atalmidim at 5:45, followed by the daf at 5:55.